Meanwhile, UN Chief Ban Ki-moon has appealed for a ceasefire between Israel and Palestinian militants. He says Hamas and Islamic Jihad have fired more than 500 rockets and mortars from the Gaza Strip into Israel in the last few days. And Mr. Ban says Israel has launched more than 500 airstrikes on Gaza. Yesterday, we spoke with Mark Regev, a spokesman for the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who blamed Hamas for the current conflict. Today we speak with Diana Bhutu, a Palestinian, former spokesperson for the PLO and was former legal advisor to the PLO in their peace negotiations. I spoke with her a short time ago from Nazareth.
Good morning to you.
So after a night of heavy bombing by Israel in Gaza, my figures have the Israeli Defense Force launching 780 airstrikes in the Strip, killing 81 Palestinians, wounding 400. Does that accord with your figures?
Yes, it does. We've been hearing that there are now 86 Palestinians who've been killed, 30 in just in the past 24 hours.
And Hamas has fired more than 250 rockets and mortar shells into Israel since Tuesday?
I'm not entirely sure how many have been fired, but I think that what's important, James, is that we look at what the effective damage is in terms of one versus the other. We're talking about very primitive rockets that have been created by Hamas versus the most sophisticated weaponry known to man that the Israelis are dropping on the Gaza Strip, which is why we've seen that the casualty rate is so lopsided, with all of the injured and all of the killed being Palestinians.
The latest figures I have is that on Israel, as you say, there are no deaths but 9 minor injuries caused by people running to the bomb shelters and tripping and so forth. But the Israelis say just because they're successful in repelling Hamas missiles with their Iron Dome project, that doesn't reduce the criminal culpability of Hamas in sending them in the first place.
Well, the big problem is that what Israel's trying to do is that it's trying to cover up for the fact that this is a military occupation. These rockets aren't being fired out of a baseless situation. This has been the West Bank and the Gaza Strip have been put under collective punishment now for more than 3 weeks, close to 4 weeks. And the Gaza Strip itself has been under an illegal blockade that the international community has said is illegal. It's been under that blockade now for a period of 7 years without the ability for people to get in or get out. Everything, including goods, are controlled by Israel. So as much as the Israelis want to pretend that this is somehow an equal war, it's not. This is a one-sided aggression against the Palestinian people, your war crimes, and should be treated as such.
But in spite of the extraordinary power imbalance, do you accept also that firing rockets, admittedly weak and homemade, indiscriminately into Israel is also a war crime?
Oh, yeah, I don't have any problem condemning those rockets. In fact, I've been somebody who's been outspoken against the rockets for quite some time. But I think that it's also important to keep in mind that even though we are outspoken in condemning them, that my condemnation is not going to put an end to it. What is going to put an end to it is if we recognize what is causing these things to happen in the first place. And what's causing it is the fact that Palestinians have been denied their freedom now for 47 years. Now, if you want to create this into an equal situation and have an equal war, then let's also give the Palestinians F-16s and F-18s, and then let's say, all right, let's see whose firepower is heavier and we can call it an equal war. But at this point in time, this is not an equal situation. This is Israel trying to protect a military occupation rather than trying to protect itself. Israel knows what the recipe is to stop all of this. It simply has to give the Palestinians their freedom. And the fact that it refuses to do so is what is leading to all of this effect.
And do you foresee a repeat of Operation Cast Lead in Gaza?
Absolutely. And this is what I'm most fearing at this point in time. Within just a period of 24 hours, the Israelis, by their own admission, dropped more than 400 one-ton bombs on the Gaza Strip, which was more than all of the artillery that they dropped on the Gaza Strip in the year of 2012. This is by their own admission. They've already called up 40,000 troops. They've indicated that they are going to invade by ground. There have been attempts to broker a ceasefire. Netanyahu has come out very firmly and said that a ceasefire is not on the table. And so it's clear to me that what Israel wants to do is do a repeat of the massacres of 2008, 2009, and the 2012 massacre.
And yet those The cooperation cast led was self-evidently ineffective in its primary task, which was to stop and degrade Hamas's ability to fire missiles into southern Israel. Do you see this as having any connection to the kidnapping and counter-kidnapping of the Israeli-Palestinian youth in the West Bank?
Yes, this is precisely what has triggered all of this, which is that initially when the three Israelis went missing, the Israeli government came out very quickly without any evidence whatsoever and put blame squarely on Hamas. The Palestinians asked for this evidence. They said, we want to help carry out the investigation. And despite the fact that these three Israelis were picked up in an area that is entirely under Israel's military control, they continue to blame the Palestinians for not doing enough to protect these Israeli settlers. Thereafter, despite the fact that there was no evidence, they placed Palestinians in various towns under collective punishment, arresting more than 500 Palestinians, ransacking more than 2,000. And then eventually, when they ended up naming the actual suspects, they went ahead and they demolished three of their homes, even though there was no evidence that was proffered, no trial, no conviction. But they certainly carried out the punishment.
Yet still out of self-interest, why wouldn't Hamas simply cease the rockets as an endeavor to prevent another Operation Cast Lead, because that had such a devastating impact on Gaza?
The reason that I believe, I'm not a representative of Hamas, so I don't know the actual reason, but what I can guess is that that they've seen where this leads to, which is that even in times where there have not been any rockets fired, even in times where they have respected ceasefires, each and every ceasefire has been broken by the Israelis. More importantly than the ceasefires being broken is that Palestinians are still living under a brutal military siege, a siege that the international community has condemned. And my fear is that if we continue to just talk about ceasefires, we're not going to actually get to any long-term situation or result. And what we need to do now is start bringing in a protection force to protect Palestinians. We need to start talking about the root causes being the political issues and move forward in terms of addressing legitimate Palestinian rights rather than simply focusing on what is happening to Israel, the occupier.
That's Palestinian lawyer Diana Boutu speaking to me a short time ago. She actually lives in Ramallah in the occupied West Bank, though I was speaking to her there from Nazareth in Israel. I asked how she managed to cross the border, and she said it's because she has a Canadian passport. Normal Palestinians in the West Bank aren't able to cross the passport. That's why she said when she was a teacher, 90% of her students had never actually seen the ocean, notwithstanding the fact that it's only the Mediterranean 40 kilometres away.